Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. Because even though there are toxic chemicals all around us in the air we breathe in our consumer products, there are many things that we can do in order to remove toxic chemicals from our homes, remove toxic chemicals from our bodies, and live a toxic free, happy, healthy, organic, natural, wonderful, happy life without toxic chemicals that can affect us in so many ways. It's July 10th, 2003. I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, and the thunderstorm report today is it's starting to cloud up, so we may have a thunderstorm coming on, but I am just intending that we'll have no thunderstorms and we will have power for the entire show. My guest today is Annie Berthold Bond, who I have known almost since we've been doing our respective work for almost the same period of time. I would say that we're kindred spirits in that we both have been, had our own story of how toxic chemicals have affected our health. We've both recovered and we've both gone on to figure out the non-toxic alternatives in a different way. That our work is very complementary, where I'm mostly focused on what consumer products we can buy. Annie has been very focused on how we can make things ourselves that are less toxic alternatives, including cleaning products, pest controls, and all kinds of do-it-yourself things around the house. So welcome, Annie. I'm very happy to have you on again.
Oh, thanks, Deborah. Thanks so much for having me. And I'm in upstate New York, and we have a massive thunderstorm coming soon. But hopefully not,
well,
not before the show's over.
At the same time. Well, I guess it's somewhere on the East Coast. And for those of you who don't live on the East Coast, you're not like working around thunderstorms every day. But we had an absolutely stunning thunderstorm last night, Annie. I was driving west, and there was a thunderstorm over the Gulf of Mexico, just offshore. And so I was just driving, like, right in that direction. So I was watching it develop right through the windshield in the direction that I was going. And at first, there was only some beautiful, and it was at sunset, too. So I had this big thunderhead with the sun, the colors of the sunset shining behind it. And then there were these bright lightning bolts. And by the time I got home, it had turned into such a thunderstorm, just all churned up, that there were flashes of lightning, like, every second. And
oh,
it was
gosh.
Just flash, 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 and rolling thunder, 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 thunder. And it was absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Well, I'm glad you were all snug. Did you, like, race from your car to the house, or how did you get in?
Well, it was still off in the distance. I could hear it, but it wasn't raining right where I was.
Oh,
and
perfect.
So, I didn't have the rain, but I had the beautiful light show, and then I could continue to watch it through my windows at home. And it was just, nature can be so stunningly beautiful. It just is.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. That sounds really great.
Yeah, it was just, I felt like, you know, sometimes you look at nature and the colors are so absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
That you think that, like, no artist could paint something that looks like that. And it was just one of those moments where I just, you know, I just felt saturated with the colors, like it needed to go into my memory. And I just needed to remember what this looked like, because there was no way you could take a photograph. There was no way you could paint it. It was
it's one of those, you can't make this stuff up kind of things. I mean, sometimes those colors in nature are so spectacular.
It's like the most gorgeous art there is in nature. Sometimes it's just, you know, anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that sounds fantastic.
So,
I mean, I'm glad you looked at it that way instead of in fear, and you were like, oh, my gosh, this is gorgeous.
Well, you know, when I was a little girl, my father, whenever we lived in California, where we don't have I didn't grow up with thunderstorms like we have here on the East Coast in California, and usually they would happen at night, and it would be a big light show, and lots of noise. And my father would come get me out of my bed and put me in front of the window and hold me on his lap so it was safe and have me look at the thunder and lightning. And because he did that, I was never afraid of it, because whenever there was a thunderstorm, I was always in a safe place.
Oh, that's awesome. What a wonderful thing for him to do. That's great.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here to talk about toxic chemicals and safe alternatives. So I'll just introduce Annie for a minute and say that she's the author of Clean and Green was her first book, which is full of it's still in print and still, I would say, a classic toxic alternatives book that belongs on everybody's shelf. It's still on my bookshelf. Then there was Better Basics for the Home. You're welcome. Home Enlightenment, and most recently her most recent book was True Food. And that was the winner of the Gourmand Awards Best Health and Nutrition Cookbook in the World. What an honor.
That. Yes, that was a great honor.
So Annie has been around a long time she's got a lot of information, and I consult her books all the time. So Annie, before we go on and actually start talking about our subject, which is going to be natural solutions for bugs, especially summertime bugs, what to do about mosquitoes and ticks and all those kinds of things, just tell us for a few minutes. You've been on the show before and we discussed your story, but just tell us in a few minutes how you came to be interested in this subject. What is your personal motivation?
Well, I was sort of whacked over the head. I was leading a perfectly fine, normal life, and then I had a very back-to-back, a very powerful poisoning experiences. I worked at a restaurant that had a gas leak, and it sent 80 people to the hospital, and I got what a doctor said permanent central nervous system damage at that time. And then our apartment building, I didn't yet know about the permanent central nervous system damage, and our apartment building was exterminated with a pesticide that's been taken off the market because it's so neurotoxic. And so that back-to-back exposure for me was very devastating. I was in the hospital for 3 months. It took me about 8 years to find a place to live. I mean, I finally got properly diagnosed, thank goodness, because this was 1981 by then, and there are very few environmental medicine doctors around, and I just, by great grace of whatever, ended up with one in New Haven, in Connecticut. And I learned how, bit by bit, to learn how to live without chemicals. And so I became a bit of a nomad. I'm very sensitive to pesticides, and where we moved in upstate New York, there's a lot of pesticide drift from farms, and so I became a nomad. We moved 10 times in 4 years, but in the process, I really learned how to live without chemicals, and I finally got into a healthy home, and I was like a wilted plant that hadn't been given water, and the clean air was my water, and I just popped back so fast, it was unbelievable, and I got well enough, my doctor said I could have a baby, and I very, very wonderful experience, had her in 88, and after she was born, my concern sort of broadened from my own personal tragedy, really, and crisis in my life to wanting a better place for her in her world. And so I started researching alternatives, and I stumbled upon your books, and was Non-Toxic and Natural, and was a complete devoted fan. And I'm from Northern New England. Interest in sort of the formula side of things just tapped into a sort of down-to-earth, down-home kind of instinct I had from my growing up. And so I just jumped right in and never looked back. It's been, one of those greatest pain is the greatest gift kind of stories, you know.
Yes. I would like to also say that about my experience, you know, that people look at chemical poisoning as being a tragedy, but it was the greatest blessing in my life because it gave me an opportunity to take a look at what was going on in my life and make my own choices. And we're going to take a break right now. I'm Deborah Lindat. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. And my guest today is Annie Bond. We're going to be talking about how you can protect yourself from all those summertime bugs without toxic chemicals. We'll be right back. I'm Deborah Landad, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest is Annie Bond, who has been developing and collecting all kinds of natural, do-it-yourself kinds of things to live a less toxic life for many, many years. Decades, in fact. I don't want her to sound like an old lady.
I just turned 60. I'm not proud.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
A wise woman, one of our people that we should be listening to.
Well, that's a graceful way to put it. Thank you.
And just before the break, we were talking about how for each of us, our experiences with being poisoned by toxic chemicals was a blessing in disguise, because we each came out of it looking at our lives and the world in a different way and wanting to do something to make the world a better place. And for Annie, for me, it put me in a position of choice. And I think that you probably have that experience too, wouldn't you say? Where instead of just taking the world as it was, we started deciding how we wanted our personal world to be.
Well, that's a really interesting way of looking at it, because in a way, for me, it's taken me a long time to see that or learn that particular lesson. For me, choice was taken away for a very long time. Like, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. And would I like to live any way differently than I live now? Not at all. I'm thrilled, and it's been a wonderful thing to be able to provide such a incredible sanctuary to my family, because
yes.
What a gift that is to them. That's a nice way of looking at it, Deborah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I think that we're always at this point where we're saying, well, what can I do and what can't I do? And we can look at it as saying, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. I remember in the beginning I would say, well, I don't want to give up my favorite lipstick. I'm just not going to do it. But when I did, it actually made a huge difference in my life, just that one product. That I'd done everything except give up that one shade of red lipstick that it took me so long to find. But there's so many choices that we have, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is the natural things that we can do, the safe things that we can do. And these are things that we can do, and as we do more and more of them, our lives become safer and safer. So what would you like to talk about first, Annie, in terms of some solutions for what to do about bugs?
I think that something that I would love to talk about is ticks, actually.
Okay.
When you're saying you got rid of your favorite lipstick, I have a new challenge. I mean, I live in a non-toxic world, as you know, and I have dogs, and I don't put Frontline and other chemicals on them for their health as well as mine. I couldn't have them in the house if I did that.
Yeah.
And I've suffered a number of cases of Lyme disease, and I have a relatively new puppy, and I decided that I don't even care. I mean, I care about not getting Lyme disease, but I really mostly care about being able to let her sleep on my bed and not. I mean, so I'm really waffling on that one. Is it the case of the lipstick where I need to just say, okay, she can't even be in my bedroom, or because the dogs get ticks, of course, because they go in the woods where I live.
Right.
But I've spent a lot of time doing a lot of research about ticks and what to do about them for repellents for ticks. Because as I say, I won't use Frontline. Actually, if you read the fine print of a lot of those kinds of chemicals, they're incredible central nervous system depressants, and dogs can get very depressed. And having had a pesticide exposure myself, I just can't bring myself to give that to my dogs.
Right.
When I was writing Better Basics for the Home, I really dug deep in herbalist books, and I came across rose geranium as something that has been called, it used to be even called tickweed, and it's an essential oil that you can find, and most health food stores have at least geranium, And it's a very, very powerful repellent for ticks. And so what I do is I'll take a drop of it and put a drop on my dog's collars. And a couple drops, dogs are incredibly sensitive to smell, so you can't put too much on. But mm-hmm. I've found that to be very, very successful for repelling ticks, and probably my number one go-to thing for repelling ticks. But many of us don't live in the cities. Well, most of us facing ticks don't live in the cities anyway, but have lawns and shrubbery and that sort of thing. And I've been reading, I don't know how I missed this until more recently, but I've been reading a lot about sulfur and how the reason we have so many ticks may be because of a sulfur imbalance in the environment, and that ticks hate sulfur. They're really repelled by it. And so you can buy sulfur in a farm store kind of place, and you could get it in flakes and put it around on your lawn, and it will significantly repel ticks. But I also think that garlic is very, very heavy in sulfur, and I think it may be one reason why garlic has always been talked about as something to give to pets, and I think it may be because it increases the sulfur. And I've been taking a lot of garlic and as a repellent, just eating it because it helps me with my Lyme disease, and I've actually been taking Allicin, and that's been extremely helpful too. And so I think there's just a lot of fronts where one could work to protect oneself from Lyme disease and one's pets from Lyme disease. But in terms of going outside, it's for me the top thing is always rose geranium. In terms of sort of holistic care, I'm increasingly moving towards a focus on sulfur.
I think there's also a garlic spray. I think when I was researching mosquitoes, that you can go online, I don't remember the exact website, but they have a garlic spray that you can spray around in your yard. And
that's interesting. Absolutely. That sounds very interesting to me. I'll have to look into that because, it's very, and I was going to start taking a version of MSM, sulfur myself, because I thought it might help further repel ticks from ever wanting to bite me to begin with.
Yes. Yeah, I actually have never had a tick bite me, but I think that you live in a more wooded area than I do.
I'm in an epicenter here, and so there were no ticks until 1996, and then they arrived, and they're just devastating. Tick-borne disease can be devastating, and everybody I know has a family member who has it where I live, so that's why it's top of mind, you know?
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about some other insects that we might encounter in the summertime and at other times of year. After this, you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Bundiat, and my guest is Annie Bond. We'll be back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Bundiat, and my guest today is Annie Bond, and we're talking about insects and how to control them and how to repel them. I just wanted to mention, as long as we're on this subject, that a few weeks ago I had a guest on from a company called Greenway Formula 7. And that was a very interesting show because they have developed a insect repellent, and it also kills insects, made entirely from essential oils. It's extremely effective. And it also is unscented. It's unscented in the sense that it has no fragrance added. But actually, one of their formulas has an essential oil in it that makes it not even smell like the essential oils that are in the formula. So this is a product that I use for insect repellents. You can just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, and at the top of the right-hand column, there's a search box, and just type in Greenway Formula 7, and it'll take you to my write-up about it, and you can find out all about it. So that's a product you can buy that Annie has all kinds of suggestions about things that you can make at home, which I just love. So should we talk about mosquitoes now?
Well, I cracked open one of my books of mosquitoes because I figured that would be the next on the list. What do you like for mosquitoes, Deborah? One of my main things I just want to say is that it's so important to remove any stagnant water anywhere near your house. Old tires where water's accumulated, or old flower pots, anything like that. That's just one of the key reasons to. Every time I get mosquitoes near my house, even I'm always like, oh my gosh, where's the stagnant water? And so,
yes.
Before we get into the specifics of some repellents, I just wanted to say that. But I'd be curious to know what you, because I remember something from somewhere back when where you had some great ideas about mosquitoes. I'd be curious.
I do, because mosquitoes have been a that's probably my single most prevalent pest problem is mosquitoes, because I really don't like to be bitten. And I would totally agree with you. One of the things that I was just doing this morning, well, first of all, as you have all heard, Annie and I both live now in the thunderstorm country, which means that we're always getting water every day. And anything that I have that is upright and holds water will hold water every day. And so I go around and like I have two wheelbarrows in my backyard, I have to store them upside down. I can't just leave them there because overnight they will, or even during the day, they'll get full of water. And then other containers, I make sure that I have been known to put holes in the bottoms of things so that the water seeps through and they don't collect water. That is the most important thing. Another thing about mosquitoes is, especially indoors, you can have mosquito netting. I used to have mosquito netting over my bed. That works really, really well. But the simplest thing, and something that I think works just so well, is vinegar. And you can use any kind of vinegar. I use apple cider vinegar, the natural kind, and I just put it, you know those little shaker bottles they have in Italian restaurants for the oil and the vinegar? I bought a set of those, and I filled them with vinegar, and I have like one sitting next to my bed and one sitting in the kitchen. And if I'm going outside or if a mosquito gets in the house, I just shake the vinegar on my body and it doesn't bite me. And this is actually a surefire, inexpensive way to just not get bit. And it occurs to me that you could even make garlic vinegar and that would probably be even more effective, but you would smell like garlic.
I know. Well, that's the problem with taking all my garlic pills is I have to stop before important meetings or something because I'm like, I can't walk in there and have, you know, be reeking of it. But, wow, so what a great idea. That makes a lot of sense. So it's like the incredible acid. The mosquitoes don't like that acid.
They don't, and they also don't like dark colors. So if you wear black, you're less likely to be bit by a mosquito than if you wear white, like certain colors. I actually wrote up this whole long list. I have to find it. I should find it and put it up on my website again because I had all this whole long list of all these things to do to protect yourself from mosquitoes. So there, you really do not need DEET or any other toxic pesticide.
You totally don't need DEET. I agree. You know, it's interesting. I went to Southeast Asia of a great generosity of a really great friend of mine, and she took me and her daughter and her daughter's best friend, and we traveled, and we were in malaria. There was a malaria outbreak in Cambodia when we were there, and I was very concerned because I knew I'm so sensitive to pesticides. I knew that I would not be able to be near her, and or her friend, her daughter or her daughter's friend, if they were using chemical toxic pest
mm-hmm.
control on themselves,
mm-hmm.
and I knew that I certainly couldn't, and yet I didn't, you know, this was a lot of responsibility, and I didn't to ask people not to use a DEET-based spray because I didn't want anybody to get malaria, of course. And
right.
So I did a lot of research online, and I found a company that had done all the tests, and it was equally, if not more, effective than DEET, so I felt very confident in buying it and giving these bottles. I bought bottles for each one of the four of us, and I just felt great about it. And it was a very strong essential oil, and I think it was Buzz Off, B-U-Z-Z-Z-Z, but I'm not, I just, it was a number of years ago, I can't quite remember, I'm sorry, but I usually don't need something so powerful around the house, so I don't,
yeah.
I haven't bought it again, so.
Yeah. Yeah, most people don't. Here in Florida, we really have a lot of mosquitoes. I mean, it's hard to go out in the summertime and not get bit. So I do a combination of vinegar and also, I mean, one or the other, I'll use vinegar or I'll use the Greenway Formula 7. I find to be very effective in it. Also, it just smells like cloves. There's no citronella or any of those kinds of things in it. And
yeah, that's
so
great.
Those are the two that I use. And I'm pretty mosquito free.
Well, that's really great. And so, you know, the list of herbs that, I've researched have work really well for mosquito repellents, which would they were essential oils you could make your own or whatever. And one thing you want to do when you're using essential oils when you put them on yourself, as you know, Deborah, is you don't want to put the essential oils straight on your skin because
right.
they can burn. So put about a tablespoon of whatever household oil you have, like olive oil, and then add like 10 drops or something to a tablespoon of the oil, and then you could dab the essential oil mixture onto your skin. And that's a good way to do it. But eucalyptus oil is a really good repellent, as is cloves, actually. Did you say cloves? Something
cloves.
Like cloves?
That's the major one in Greenway Formula 7.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's definitely on my list. Geranium also works for mosquitoes. Peppermint, rosemary, lemon balm, or citronella, and feverfew. So they're good ones.
Great. Okay, so we need to take another break. And I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm here with Annie Bond, and we're talking about how to protect ourselves from summertime bugs. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie Bond. She's the author of Clean and Green, Better Basics for the Home, Home Enlightenment, and her most recent book is True Food. All of Annie's books, Clean and Green, Better Basics for the Home, Home Enlightenment, those are three great books to have on your bookshelf. They're full, each one of them is full of do-it-yourself things that you can make at home that are natural alternatives to products that contain toxic chemicals. Her website is anniebond.com, A-N-N-I-E-B, Bond, B-O-N-D.com. So, Annie, what else do you want to tell us about controlling or repelling pests?
Well, what do you think? We've got ideas for mice, for ants, for head lice, whatever. What would you suggest?
Oh, I like ants. I want to
okay.
tell what I do for ants. You can tell me what you do for ants.
Fabulous. So why don't you go first?
My tried and true thing is that I just, you know, ants come in a line and they're looking for food. And so I just look for that line of ants. And in one hand, I have a damp sponge. And in the other hand, I have a bottle of Elmer's white glue. And I just keep wiping them up with the sponge. And then you find a point where they're coming in the house and you just put some Elmer's white glue and it fills up the hole. And then the next day they'll find another way to come in and you do exactly the same thing. And I find it doesn't take more than 3 or 4 days of doing the same thing over and over before I've gotten all the holes or they just decide not to come in anymore. And this has solved every ant problem in every place I've ever lived. And of course, then it's done. You never have ants again in your house because you filled up the holes.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, that's a very good overlay for mice, too. I mean, I've done everything under the sun for mice, and yes, I can repel them, but it's not until you fill up the holes that you don't get them back. So that's a really great solution, Deborah, for ants. I like that. I have a solution that is very fun if you've got kids around, and that is making a sugar ant hotel. This was one of my daughter's main events in the spring.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Tell us about
it. We would have fun. We'd have bring a big bowl out on the counter, and I would mix half and half borax and sugar and mix it up, and then meanwhile, all year we accumulate the little marinated artichoke heart jars, and so they're just about the right height for making your own sugar ant hotel, and you get a hammer and a nail, and you punch holes in the top of the lid for that. And so you just scrunch up some toilet paper or use cotton balls and stick them in the bottom halfway up or so of in the jars, and then you fill it up to up about halfway up with the borax and sugar mixture, fill it with water up to about a quarter of an inch or half an inch to the top, and screw on the top, and then put them around where you would normally put those ant hotels, and the ants just line up to get in it. They just love it so much, and so you know, it kills the ants, but it's a great way to keep the sugar ants out. This won't get the queen, and so you do need to put borax around in some places that are safe from kids and pets, and that though the worker ants will take the borax back to the queen. But otherwise, it's a great little project for a family to use to make the sugar ant hotels. So
that sounds like fun. Now, when you say borax, are you talking about borax like 20-meal-teen borax or boric acid?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the kind that you buy in the laundry section of the supermarket. So
I didn't know that would work to sprinkle it around that it would affect pests.
Well, it probably wouldn't, but I just am super duper cautious, as you know, just to be able to say that. I can't imagine any pet trying to lick it up, but I just try to make, you know, it's...
I meant pests, not pets. I'm not concerned about a dog licking it up. I was wondering about using it to kill insects.
See, yeah, it's definitely strong enough. So
okay,
what
good.
Happens
That's
is,
what I wanted to know.
Yeah, the sugar attracts it, and then the borax kills. That's the thing. So,
that's what makes it work. Okay, good. Because it wasn't that I had never heard of it before. It's just I always thought when you think of controlling pests, you think of boric acid. So I wanted to make sure that our listeners were not confusing the two.
Yep, that's right. People always recommend boric acid for cockroaches, and not living in the city and not having cockroaches where I live, it's not that easy to find, and because of that, I always use borax, and it worked wonderfully, so I never looked further, and it's certainly easy to do, so that's great. You know, one of the other things...
What about people who are living in the city and they need to control cockroaches?
Well, I don't know that there's something that's much better than boric acid. I think that's really what I understand. That's really the tried and true... ingredient, right?
It is.
Yeah.
I think that, we have here in Florida something called palmetto bugs, which is like a giant cockroach. And they're actually pretty scary. The first time I saw one, I thought, oh my God, what's this? But the way everybody has them in their house. But the way I ended up controlling them was, the first thing that I did was, again, I looked for all the ways that they could possibly be getting in. And that reduced them greatly by just simply filling up the holes. And that's one of the basic ideas behind natural pest control, is to fill up holes, put up screens. You want to put up barriers between
Absolutely.
You and
It's a common
pests.
Sense. I mean, that's the heart of integrated pest management, is using common sense, thinking about it, and not just saying, oh, I'm going to get something and spray. It's like, think a little bit, and then you solve it. I mean, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, well, I think that's true for anything that you're looking for a solution for. Instead of just having a spray or taking a pill or something, that there's something that you can actually do, that there's a reason that the problem is there. And if you take care of the reason, you won't have a problem anymore. And so we filled up all the holes where they were coming in. And then we, what else did we do? Oh, then you need to be looking and seeing, do you have things like food sitting out or crumbs on the floor or dripping water, because pests are looking for food and water and shelter. And if you provide those, you know, like papers stacked up, and it's fine to stack them up to take them to recycling, but then take them to recycling. Don't just leave them sitting there, because they attract pests. And but what we finally ended up doing was, now I didn't actually do this, Larry did it, but he mixed boric acid with something into a little ball, and I forgot what it was that he mixed it with. And then he just put it down in the bottom of the cabinets so that they were inside and the cats wouldn't find them. And I haven't seen a palmetto bug since.
Oh, that's really great. Yeah, that's really great.
Oh, I think it was cornstarch. Cornstarch.
Yeah, that would make some sense.
Yeah,
that's right.
And water. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would make sense as a base. And it's also unbelievably dehydrating for the animals, for the bug.
Yeah.
I also read here in Better Basics, I didn't remember I put this in here, that chickens and geckos love to eat cockroaches, so there's another option for you.
They do. You know, I had for a while, I had chickens in my backyard, and we also have geckos. And we would collect the palmetto bugs and feed them to the chickens.
Yeah, totally. Well, guinea hens love to eat ticks, and I think my dogs would eat the guinea hens, and so I wouldn't last very long, but that's another thing. A lot of people I know where I live have a lot of guinea hens around to just eat up the ticks, and there again, that's sort of one of those common sense reactions to things. You know, another thing that we might want to talk about would be fleas, because especially as we're getting these heat spells, so there tends to be huge flea hatchings.
Well, I would love to talk about fleas, except that we're almost out of time.
Oh, we are? Okay.
That goes by really fast. So we've got about a minute and a half left. So do you have any final words you'd like to say about living non-toxic or about non-toxic pest control or about life in general?
I would just say to do it. I mean, that was the thing. I haven't dry cleaned my clothes for 30 years. I just had to learn how to do it differently. And
yes,
that's my suggestion, especially with pesticides, is just simply to say, okay, turn the page, new chapter, never going to use synthetic pest control in my life again, and choose alternatives, search the alternatives, and they work, they're wonderful, and you're not poisoning yourself and your family and the neighborhood and the pets and everything at the same time. So,
yes, I completely agree, and that's what Annie and I have been doing for all these many years, is finding those alternatives, figuring out how to do it, and writing about how to do it, and talking about how to do it, and doing it ourselves. So all these answers are there. It's just about you all learning how to do it. And together we can make a tremendous difference in the world to make our own lives safer and the world a safer place for everybody to live. Thank you so much for being with me, Annie, today.
Oh, thanks for
I'm
having
sure
me.
We'll have you on again.
Yeah, thank you so much. Great to be here, Deborah. Thank you.
Thanks. So for more information about how you can live in a toxic-free way, go to my website, toxicfreetalkradio.com. Across the top, there's a lot of links to go to different parts of my website. And listen again tomorrow. I'm Deborah Lindad. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio.